So the point is that scientifically or biologically speaking, one of the primary needs for a human to have fat is for protection of the internal organs. Is there a relation there?
It's correct, but I can't make an application, spiritual application, but that's correct. But the other functions of fat too. One other thing that I read, and I don't want to go off too far, but the fact too is that it was prohibited to be eaten by the people. And this is animal fat. This is what comes to my mind. This is animal fat. And to me, even from a dietary point of view, you can see that this is God's protection of his people. Hmm. So anyway, that's an aside. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is there a connection between this and the fatted calf?
The fatted calf. Like in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, he returns and is the fatted calf. Is there a connection? The calf that has been fattened up, not the...
Yeah, I was going to make a comment as well that has to do with that. It's sort of from a cooking angle. And so the fatted calf is going to taste better. And there's something to the fat that has to do with, for one thing, fat is flammable. You make oils the lamp would burn oil and different things like that. So it might have something to do with the fact, you know, there's a verse in Psalm 63, I'll be satisfied as with fatness, oil and fatness. So there's some kind of thing that has to do with when we eat fatty food tastes better than non-fat food. So maybe that has an application as well.
I think you might just have said it in the sense that from an eating standpoint, it's what contributes to the flavorfulness of what you are enjoying. And we might say God appreciated the flavorful aspects of Christ's death in that sense, that that's what gave, you know, there's enough to satisfy God in the death of Christ in that sense. What do you think?
Mark has something to say.
Yes.
So for this offering, it was a lamb?
It was a bull of the herd, or it could be a lamb, or it could be a goat.
But it was young, right? So it didn't have that much fat.
Oh, I see what you're saying. A lamb instead of a sheep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it didn't have that much fat. Is that correct? Or no? I don't know. It had to be young, didn't it? Or not necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know just when you would stop being called a lamb and be called a sheep. But
talking about the application about the fat, I'm saying it might not have had that much fat, so whatever little bit it had, it forgot.
Right. I think the key point, as you said, is you would find the fat it had, and in these specific locations where fat would be naturally occurring, you made sure that all went for God. Let's move on, if we might, to another chapter in Leviticus. It's chapter 7, to get some more comments on the peace offering. We can still fit these things into what we've been discussing, but let's focus a little bit on these verses now. It's verse 11, and let's read down to verse 18. There's a little more from 19 on to 21, but let's stop at verse 18 for now. Can somebody read those eight verses, please? 11 to 18 of Leviticus 7.
And this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Verse 18 is
one. In verse 18, please.
And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity.
Okay. Now, we're going to want to sort of add some of these comments as an overlay to what we've already discussed. And what I've noted here is that we have Leviticus 7, these verses as food, and we want to notice the purposes of the offering. So, actually, let's take them in reverse order again. What are the different purposes? That's one of the essential features here. What are the purposes for bringing a peace offering? There are two. It could be because of what one purpose or another purpose? Thanksgiving, right? We have that in verse 12. If he brings it for thanksgiving, then he shall do it this way, up to verse 15. And then the other purpose would be a voluntary offering because particularly of a vow. So maybe let's say the vow is being made, or the vow has now been fulfilled, and you would be bringing a peace offering. In fact, like in the vow of the Nazarite, I think the peace offering is part of the sacrifices that would be brought when the Nazarite time was over. That's in Numbers 6. Is that correct? Numbers 6. We won't take time to turn there, but that's one example of a vow, a very particular type of vow that was made. And when the time period of the vow was concluded, along with a number of other things, a peace offering would be offered. The thanksgiving offering, I think, too, would be voluntary, right? The burnt offering was voluntary. So it's not that somebody is told, bring a peace offering when this happens, but you could bring it for thanksgiving, or you could bring it because of a vow. And what else comes with these offerings, in particular the thanksgiving offering, the thanksgiving aspect? Besides that, what would be offered? Besides the animal, you would have what?
Right.
Some cakes.
Yeah. Looks like the characteristics of the meal offering.
Meal offerings.
Yesterday.
Mixed with oil. It's not called a meal offering, but it certainly is a very similar description to what we had yesterday when the meal offering was cakes instead of the fine flour. We see the oil there and so on.
Should we add that in this case, in verse 13, we have leavened bread. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with
very
the
good
sacrifice. So there's one instance where leavened bread was sacrificed.
So with the thanksgiving offering, there are two kinds of cakes that are brought, two kinds of cakes. That's what the New King James says. An unleavened cake in verse 12 and leavened bread in verse 13. And then you notice what happens in verse 14. You take these cakes, some were leavened, some were unleavened, and he would take one cake from each offering in verse 14. So you take, if I understand it correctly, you take one unleavened cake and you would take one leavened cake and you would lift that up before the Lord. It wasn't put on the altar to burn, but you would sort of be dedicating that to the Lord, offering that up, lifting it up before the Lord as if you're saying, look, Lord, at what this offering is. And then what would happen to that, to those cakes in verse 14? The priest would, so I didn't hear what you said. Would eat it. Yeah, the priest would, it would belong to the priest. In other words, not for the priest to just put aside somewhere. This was how the priest would survive. The priest would receive of the offerings, and some of the offerings were burnt up entirely, the burnt offerings, but other offerings actually became part of the food for the priest. We had that yesterday with some of the meal, and in fact, most of the meal offering became something for the priest to live on. They didn't have jobs, they didn't have their own farms, they didn't have their own land that they inherited, so they were provided this, in a sense, the offerings were also a way to provide a means for his priests to live, which think of us as priests. Where's our inheritance in this world? We don't have an inheritance in this world. We don't have things that are lasting in this world, but we have the offerings, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we can survive on, so to speak, while we're in this world.